On this fifth Sunday of Lent, we are inching ever closer to the holiest days of the year. Soon we will join the crowds who hailed Jesus upon his entrance into Jerusalem, exclaiming, "Hosanna in the highest." We will follow Jesus into the upper room for his Last Supper, pray with him through his agony in the garden, walk along with him to Calvary, stand with his mother at the foot of the cross, and yes, we will run to the empty tomb. I mentioned on Ash Wednesday that I love the connection between our Lenten journey and the changing of the seasons. As we approach Easter, the days are longer now. The snow has melted, except for maybe a couple spots. We've got more sunlight. It's a little bit warmer. And soon the plants will be in bloom. How fitting that creation goes through this powerful transformation while at the same time we are going through a spiritual transformation. Also, how fitting that Jesus uses creation, telling us that unless a grain of wheat dies, it cannot bear fruit. A powerful image of dying to oneself as we approach Holy Week. The prophet Jeremiah, in our first reading, predicts the moment that we're preparing to celebrate in a couple of weeks, and what Jesus speaks of in the gospel. "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Our God is a God of covenants, a God of promises. As we know from reading the Old Testament and even looking to last week's scriptures, no matter how stiff-necked the people were, his chosen people, no matter how many times they broke the covenant or they doubted, God always came to renew that covenant and bring the chosen people back to him. In looking at our salvation history, all the moments when the chosen people wanted to go off and do their own thing, when they didn't want to listen to what Moses was telling them because they didn't trust God, all those different moments when they worshiped idols, all of that was an unwillingness to give themselves totally to God. An unwillingness to die to themselves and to surrender to the will of God. It's a hard thing to do, no doubt about it. I think all of us who try to surrender to God know that it's not easy. And we can think of any number of moments in life where the fear of the unknown, you know, not knowing exactly what God is going to do, makes it hard to let go. After all, having control is what makes us feel safe and protected, because then everything is up to us. The paradox of our faith is that the more we let go, the safer we are. The more we die to ourselves and live for God, the happier we will be. It is in embracing the cross that we're given eternal life. The paradoxical nature of our faith is what makes us seem so crazy to the rest of the world. Yet it's that very paradox, may even say that very scandal of the cross, that is most fundamental to our faith. And so many of our great saints knew this well. Look at St. Augustine. His early life was one of great immorality on a lot of different levels, a true embodiment of living for oneself, seeking all the pleasures of this world. His mother, St. Monica, knowing this life would lead to destruction, not fulfillment, prayed for his conversion every single day. Then, when reading the life of Anthony of the Desert, Augustine converted and became one of the most profound doctors and saints we have in the church. He was willing to let that hard exterior, like a seed, crack open. And that seed that died continues to bear fruit to this very day. Saint Teresa of Calcutta, our beloved Mother Teresa, who gave up all her wants and desires, gave up worldly pleasures so that she could totally live for the Lord in serving the poorest of the poor. Her too, the death of that seed, is bearing fruit today as we still reflect on her life and her writings and seek her intercession. The problem is that our culture puts a premium on doing the exact opposite. We're supposed to live for ourselves, do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it. To be strong and independent is to listen to your own voice and no one else, not even God. Jesus tells us very plainly throughout the Gospels, that's never going to work. It never has, and it never will. Living a life for us rather than for God is a life unfulfilled. And that's part of what Lent is meant to teach us. By going out into the desert with Jesus through our prayer, our fasting, and our almsgiving, we're meant to come out of the desert with a different view, transformed, to understand where true happiness lies. And it's not with the temptations of the devil, but with Jesus himself. Pope Francis, a number of years ago during Lent, talked about what he called the Christian style. Perhaps for some of our younger ones, we could call it the Christian swag. We can tweak it a little bit. Does anybody know what swag means? No, I don't either, so I'm not going to, can't define it for you. Pope Francis talks about this Christian style in that in order to be authentic, it must follow the path of Jesus in denying oneself, taking up the cross, and practicing humility. He says, and this style will save us, will give us, and make us fruitful, because this path of denying oneself is there to give us life. Let's be clear. While denying oneself and taking up the cross involves sacrifice, it's not a call to misery. It's not that we give up all sorts of pleasures and then just live in sadness and hurt until the day we die. That's not what this is. The whole point is that all of our longings and desires will be fulfilled in an even better way, in an even happier way than we can ever imagine, if we let go and let God, as the saying goes. It's not that we're called to live in sadness, but rather we live in an authentic joy that's everlasting. Lent is a snapshot of the entirety of Christian life. This constant transformation and conversion that calls us to deny ourselves by denying our sin, our pride, our worldly wants, our anger, our biases, all those things that prevent us from knowing Jesus, so that we can bear much fruit in this world. The fruit that we bear is the faith that we instill in our children, grandchildren, the faith that you can see being passed down from generation to generation. It's the fruit that we bear is in the works of charity and mercy that we perform for one another, because we're not seeking our own pleasures, but rather focused on another, seeking only what God wishes. As our hearts are converted back to God this Lenten season, and as we approach Holy Week, we then experience the joy of Easter as it's meant to be, fully focused on the radiance of the risen Christ, who through his self-denial opened the gates of paradise for all.